Government TDs who want Ireland to reduce the number of asylum seekers applying for international protection here have cited Denmark as an example to follow. On Thursday, the Fianna Fáil justice spokesman Jim O'Callaghan said Denmark had managed to significantly reduce the number of asylum seekers entering the country by sending out a clear message that they would deport anyone who failed in their application for asylum status. Here's what he told RTE's News at One with Gavin Jennings on Thursday.
But look at another country, similar to Ireland within the European Union, Denmark. Back in 2015, there were 21,000 people who applied for international protection in Denmark. A decision was made by the Social Democrat centre-left government in Denmark that they were going to reduce the numbers coming in. Last year in Denmark, 2023, 2,482 people applied for international protection. Like already in Ireland this year, we have received in 8,500 people applying for international protection. So like measures can be introduced that can reduce numbers of people applying for international protection. Yes, but
that was Fianna Fáil TD Jim O'Callaghan on the News at One. Now, what did Denmark do to reduce the numbers of people seeking international protection in their country? Well, earlier I spoke with Owen O'Sullivan, a journalist based in Denmark, and he began by telling me about the migrants entering Denmark before their laws were changed and got tougher 10 years ago.
At the time, 2015, 2014, 2015, we're looking at the migration crisis that was hitting Europe overall, and the numbers in Denmark were the same for many places. So the vast majority of people coming to Denmark at the time were Syrian, and then there was a lot of Iranian and Afghanis coming as well at the same time. And the route would have been similar to most stories, coming through Turkey and Greece at the time. And then the vast majority of them have been entering Denmark through the border with Germany.
What happened then after 2015, which caused the Danish government to decide that it was going to take steps to reduce the number of asylum seekers entering Denmark?
Yeah, so 2014, 2015, Denmark was receiving record high numbers of asylum seekers. And while the Social Democrats did introduce stricter measures, it was actually the central right party, Venstre, that introduced the policies, which I think Jim O'Callaghan is referring to and is actually Denmark's legacy today. There was an election in mid-2015 and the Social Democrats lost many voters to more right-wing parties, and Venstre was able to take power in June. And in September of that year, there was famously photos taken of refugees on Danish highways, and this was seen as many as the catalyst for the stricter policies that came in that Venstre brought in, and it was influenced by the Danske Folk Party, which is a more right-wing leaning party that came into effect at the end of 2015.
And when you say that there was refugees on highways, was Denmark not able to cope with the numbers of people arriving into the country at that point?
Well, this is actually an interesting point, because many of the people in those photos are believed to have been making their way further to Sweden. But there was definitely a concern about Denmark not being able to cope with the numbers at the time. But I think it should be noted that at the same point, Germany and Sweden were receiving 130% and 100% respectively more refugees than the year before. So it wasn't like there wasn't a large movement at the time. Now, the concerns for Denmark were that there was a doubling of the price for housing migrants at the time and refugees at the time. And municipalities were concerned about if they could continue to find affordable housing. Another thing to take note of for Denmark is that there's a big emphasis on integration into the country, and many mayors and rural communities at the time were voicing concerns that there was a possible lack of financing and maybe a concern for the ability to integrate people in larger numbers. Now, at the time, in 2015, it was estimated about 20% of overall refugees coming to Denmark would successfully integrate into the workforce. And with regards to the housing issue, the policies that came in at the end of 2015 resulted in temporary refugee villages that were created around the country.
So what measures were taken then at that time by the government to try to curb the numbers of migrants that were coming into Denmark?
So one of the first things that happened was there was a reintroduction to border control with the border of Germany. There was also a tightening of reunification laws, which was implemented, which means that there used to be a one-year waiting list for family members or spouses to join people in Denmark. That was extended to 3 years. Temporary protection periods were shortened. Financial benefits were also lowered, and it became easier for Denmark to return rejected asylum seekers.
And how were those measures then viewed at the time? Were they seen as being extreme?
Yes, so it was definitely noted from the international community, and also the UN were quick to bring comments about these new policies. But actually, nationally, people were concerned about some of the measures. For instance, there was an infamous jewellery law, which is where people who entered Denmark were allowed to bring around 10,000 kroners worth with them, money or valuables, which is about 1,300 euro. Anything above this mark could be confiscated, including jewellery of the people entering the country.
What about the reaction then from Denmark's neighbours, from Germany and Sweden? How did they react to the tightening of the laws and those efforts to try to curb migration?
Really, at the time, there was no real cooperation between Germany and Sweden. Sweden did briefly follow suit, actually, with Denmark, closing its borders to refugees for around 5 months at the end of 2016. But overall, there hadn't been much interaction between Denmark and its neighbouring countries. And Germany and Sweden continue to receive 6 refugees for every one that Denmark takes today.
Okay, so the measures we're talking about, they were introduced 2014, 2015. So what is the picture like almost 10 years later in 2024?
Policies generally remain the same. Since 2015, the Social Democrats have returned to government, and they now have views on refugees that are closer in line with the Danske Folk Party in order to gain back some voters they'd lost in the past. There have been, in fact, plans by the Social Democrats that people could be sent to Rwanda while they await their request being processed in Denmark. There, although have been some revision on the decisions made by the government in 2015. In fact, Inge Støjberg, the Minister of Migration and Integration at the time, has since been impeached for some of the policies. Mm. Numbers overall remain low, but there has been an increase since the Ukraine war. One factor contributing to this increase is the willingness of Danes to take Ukrainian refugees into their own homes.
And what do Danes think then of the measures that were taken in 2014, 2015, and which you say continue to be implemented today?
It was a controversial time, and it continues to be an interesting and kind of divisive topic. Danes were quite divided by these policies, and there are many organizations that supported and still support refugees, such as Refugees Welcome and the Danish Refugee Council. Today, the issues are still quite often discussed, but frequently are overshadowed by other national issues, such as economy and climate.
Mm. And what about the economy then, and the impact that the restrictions that Denmark imposed back then has had on the labour force and the ability to attract in perhaps cheaper labour, which is often provided by migrants, by immigrants. Has there been an impact for the Danish economy on the fact that those restrictions were put in place?
Yes, absolutely. Denmark's migration policy in general has been quite strict for the last 10 years. For instance, that family reunification law affected all migrants, not just those seeking asylum. And before many migrants can actually migrate properly to Denmark and obtain a visa for permanent stay, they must live in Denmark for 8 years or work for 4 years with a quite significantly high income before they can actually acquire a permanent residency. And there has, of course, now been knock-on effects seen. Denmark is currently experiencing a significant labour shortage. And this year alone, internationals have accounted for 87% of the growth in the national employment. And it has turned around that the government is now planning to bring in internationals such as Iranians, who were among the groups who were not being allowed in or affected in 2015, to fill in gaps that are occurring in the healthcare system. So there is a lot of speculation on what Denmark's view on migration is going to be in the coming years.
That was journalist Ono Sullivan speaking to us from Denmark.